Hello, respected viewers. It's George from Ireland. Welcome back to my channel again. This video is about extremism. What is it? Is it necessarily a bad thing? The trouble is, extremism just means I don't like you. So almost nobody calls himself or herself an extremist. No, that's for other people. Extremism is seen to be, by definition, wrong, as though moderation is somehow automatically virtuous and sensible. Well, I quote with approval Barry Goldwater in his 1964 acceptance speech at the Republican Party convention. The presidential nominee said to remember that extremism in defense of liberty is no vice, and moderation in pursuit of justice is no virtue. And he was cheered to the echo. There's a very worrisome trend across much of the world, and I'm speaking particularly the United Kingdom, because that's where I reside, to brand people extremist and to criminalize them for challenging the establishment. Those who scrutinize the establishment, who ask awkward questions, they are somehow to be driven out of the public sector. They can't work as teachers, as academics, as civil servants, in the police and the armed forces. There's the ever narrowing Overton window. If you're not familiar with the expression, it was a 1990s American academic who identified the term is this constantly constricting field of permissible expressions. And much of the Western world is going the way of the so-called authoritarian world. Like, you know, in Russia, where so-called extremism is criminalized. You see the elasticity of the definition. You know, it's oppression with these legal catch-alls. That extremism is anything they want to be. You know, most mass murdering regime of modern times, the Soviet Union, wasn't extreme. But those who spoke up for the right to life, they are extreme. You see the same thing in the United Kingdom with anyone who defends children's rights. But a tiny bit of good news, the Home Office Minister Jan Jarvis said yesterday that His Majesty's government shan't broaden the definition of extremist. It's meant to take in misogynist meaning male heterosexual. Now, I don't want people to be hated, but we mustn't criminalize an emotion, or there mustn't be an attitudinal crime. People can think what they like about men, that women might be distasteful or despicable. But we shouldn't be in the business of creating thought crimes. But now, misogyny is a real thing. But saying that you're attracted to a woman, or commenting on her appearance, or what you find of or perceived unattractiveness, that's not hating women in general. Cracking jokes, no, that's not hating women in general. Even if it were, I don't think it should be criminalized. Though it's nauseating. Do we want a free society or not? Because I do. And it's very worrying in the United States. Despite their First Amendment in the First World War, they criminalized peace activism and erotic literature, things like that. So much for free expression. Or recently, those who spoke up for human rights in Palestine, they lost their jobs in some cases. They were expelled from the universities. They were arrested. There were various politicians saying that demonstrations in favor of humanitarian law must be criminalized. It was essential for student safety to take away people's right to free expression, to actually speak up for international law. Staggering. If people really cared about student safety, they would think about the thousands of students murdered in Gaza. But of course, that would be extreme to speak up for the right to life. And violent environmentalists, that's to be criminalized. Well, obviously, violent crime is always illegal. We don't need to take on environmentalism. I suppose people are worried about peaceful protest that might be a bit too effective. You see the misuse of the sedition law in India. Anything seemed to be anti-nationalist criminalized. India had an admirably robust attitude to free speech, but sadly, in the last few decades, that has been gradually eroded. So there's this prevent strategy, which is flagging views that many find questionable, that I might find repulsive. But we shouldn't be harassing people for their unpopular views. I suppose that's what extremism is. Somehow it's never the Labour Party. It's never the Conservative Party. The Liberal Democrats are so-called extreme. It's only those who are not part of the cartel parties, those who question the status quo. They're to be extreme. They're to be cast out into the outer darkness. They've never harmed anyone. Indeed, they're trying to save people. But somehow they are imperiling civilization Wow, it's staggering how they would misuse this. And you see how things have changed so much. It's said to be so pernicious. Every step forward for liberty is at first branded extreme. Every single expansion of human rights was first of all branded extreme. The abolition of servitude, racial equality, sex equality, the decriminalization of gay relations, the right to vote for all, free expression itself, increasingly under threat, freedom of conscience, freedom of assembly, the right to strike, the right to join a trade union, every single one of them was at first called extreme. Is not an argument saying it's extreme, it's a thought terminating cliche like racist, fascist, communist, whatever. No, come on, you're going to have to do more than shrieking at me to convince me. It shows the utter paucity of a logical argument on that side of the oppressors who want to quell dissent. They just want to quash anyone who would question them. So you know how in India, as I say, people are routinely incarcerated for questioning the government. So that is covering most oppositional activity. And obviously India had a bad experience with this in the 1970s. Remember in Kazakhstan in 2001, a man suggested that Kazakhstan should reunite with the Russian Federation. Good idea? Bad idea? I don't know. You decide. He was given 5 years in prison for opining. 5 years. It's a proposal. Maybe it's a terrible one. Fine. But why was the establishment so threatened? It must have been a very, very attractive idea. Must have been very, very dangerous. There he was, exercising his rights under the Kazakh constitution, under the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. I remember arguing with a government solicitor about this, saying, oh, no, but we can't deny this. We can, we should, we must. We can't. She's just saying that because she's an oppressor and she can't abide people who expresses opinions that she doesn't share. Someone living in that liberal left London public sector bubble. You see how intolerant these are. They are these supposed apostles of tolerance. And it goes on. I mean, that man in Kazakhstan, all he was doing was vocalizing his belief, one that the leader of the nation, Nursultan Nazarbayev, used to advocate for. Until 1991, Nazarbayev had said that Kazakhstan must remain united with Russia. So it was a temporal crime. It would have been a crime to say the opposite in the 1980s. Wow. So like a bit like in Russia, telling the plain truth is a crime. There's the war on truth in many countries. Calling the war a war is a crime. When one nation state attacks another by land, sea, and air, that is a war, isn't it? But anyway, you see how the use of the dictionary has also been criminalized. When you said you're gay, I'm not gay, incidentally. I hate to break your heart. Right, so we go on. Like in Hong Kong, suggesting that Hong Kong ought to become independent is punishable by life imprisonment. I'll say it again, life imprisonment, reclusio perpetua, for an opinion, not hurting anybody, not squirting a drop of water, anything, not dropping a tiny bit of litter, just saying an idea. Wow. That's obviously how attractive and how popular Hong Kong independence is. That's why the oppressive regime feels so menaced by free speech. And, you know, the so-called free world ought to set its face like flint against this oppressive attitude. But sadly, this contagion is spreading to the so-called free and Western world. And so it goes on. You know, that life imprisonment, some countries wouldn't even impose that for willful murder. So it's fascinating how things change generationally. What was one day extreme is later mainstream. In 1989, two men in Denmark had a same-sex civil partnership. It outraged all but ultra-liberal opinion across the world. People found it nauseating. Now, not just civil partnership, full marriage is legal in dozens of countries. Dozens of countries. That's only 36 years ago. That's the blinking of an eye in the history of our species of 3.5 million years, 36 years out of 3.5 million. It was once absolutely outrageous, and now it's entirely acceptable. But the so-called, something was so-called extreme, seen as a lunatic fringe, beyond the beyond, risible, revolting. People didn't need to even argue about it. It was, you know, a punchline to the idea of same-sex marriage, and now questioning it is criminalized, which it shouldn't be either. That so-called homophobia. You crack a joke, you think same-sex marriage is a good idea, bad idea, I don't object. You say what you believe. I'll say what I believe. What do you say? You say what you believe, don't you? So I should do likewise. Wow. And so then there are these so-called arbiters of acceptability, the powerful, and they can't abide people questioning them. And I don't deny the powerful the right to express their views. I just say they mustn't deprive me or others of the right to express our opinions. So it's unlawful discrimination saying you're a so-called extremist, so you're going to be deprived of your right of fair employment. It flies in the face of all sorts of human rights instruments. The United Kingdom, the Republic of Ireland, so on, has ratified. Is very worrying, the declension in free expression, the Republic of Ireland, criminalizing free expression. When people who openly advocated for terrorism, for the IRA in the Republic of Ireland, attacking a friendly neighbor, the United Kingdom, they weren't jailed for that incitement to murder. Some of them were jailed for membership of a terrorist organization. Good. But the incitement wasn't criminalized. Now, expressing dissenting views, that is criminalized. It's staggering and is very troubling. And it goes on and it gets worse. This is McCarthyism, and it's usually leftist McCarthyism. Right-wing McCarthyism in the 1950s was equally despicable, taking on Walt Disney cartoon characters. I mean, for goodness sake, that is how preposterous it gets. So those who wish to discriminate others and deprive others of their entitlements, they're the ones they call themselves moderates. So people strive to delegitimize dissent by calling it extreme. And that is truly Orwellian. I know the word Orwellian is overused, but in this case, it's absolutely apposite. So anti-extremism is so vaguely worded and it has a most chilling effect on free speech, on freedom of assembly, freedom of conscience, the way Tommy Robinson's demonstrations have been shut down. Now, if you follow my channel, you will know that I despise Tommy Robinson. He's a low down scumbag. He's a violent criminal. I'm very happy he's in prison, but he shouldn't be deprived of his right to express his beliefs, detestable though they are. I want a free society, and that includes freedom for an absolute rat like Tommy Robinson. Anyway, so I put it to a moderate that everyone has the right to hold and express opinions. And you can quote human rights instruments about this. And I quoted the word everyone. Everyone is everyone, isn't it? And this particular person, she crimsoned and exhaled sharply with flaring nostrils, came up with this yes, but response, completely negating the yes. Anyway, this woman claimed to understand plain English, but clearly she didn't understand the word everyone. So, wow. I mean, it's a crime in the United Kingdom to protest at relevant locations for human rights. It's a crime to be a children's defender. It's a crime to demand child protection in the relevant place. Wow. So you didn't harm anyone. You expressed a view. You might, just might, have persuaded someone. And that is an unlimited fine. And if you don't pay, jail. Wow. Wow. It's staggering. It's sickening. And it's very frightening. So people can only express views with certain within certain narrowing parameters. There's that cartel in politics, Labour, Liberal Democrat, Conservative, the Uni Party, both Reform UK and the Workers' Party of Britain have said that. Okay, anyone outside the triopoly is to be cast into the outer darkness. And of course, there's far less distinction between the major parties than they wish to pretend. They want to deprive us of real choices to give us only shades of the same colour. I mean, Tariq Ali, not someone for whom I carry a brief, but he was correct when he called it the extreme center. I commend to you his tome of that title. And so it goes on. So the demonization of so-called extremism is a full frontal assault on freedom of expression and freedom of conscience. It is a witch hunt against dissentients. The notion that extremism of itself is evil is an extreme position to take. Michael Gove, absolute low-down scumbag. He came up with this criminalizing for believing things that he doesn't. Should he be criminalized for believing things that they don't? And he used to be a journalist. You'd think be an apostle of free expression. Fortunately, he's out of parliament. And he had the most deleterious effect in education. Excellent educators, banned for ever working with minors just because they didn't see eye to eye with Michael Gove. Wow. And, you know, in a democracy, people have the right to campaign for democracy, or indeed a dictatorship. Is democracy that feeble? Do Democrats really have no confidence in themselves, in their argument, in the public? They would criminalize people for proposing an alternative type of government. Rather hypocritical, isn't it? Anyway, it goes on. So it's incipient totalitarianism, soft totalitarianism, not executing, not torturing people yet. Well, not adults anyway. But, you know, it's a slippery slope. And it is nauseating that a former drug addict like Michael Gove should ban young teachers from pedagogy just because they smoked cannabis once. So he is loathsome. You know, he's going to ban people from working with minors whose views conflict with so-called British values. Now, Britain is not the originator of these values, nor has she always abided by them, nor are they exclusive to the United Kingdom, nor does everyone automatically agree with all of them, and nor should they, and indeed they're completely contradictory. It's totally illogical. It's just imbecilic, and so on. Anyway, so British values are not the law of the whole of the United Kingdom, actually, only in South Britain. So Gove and those of his ilk, and you'll find them in Labour and the Liberal Democrats, are striving to strip people of their rights. This is an attempt at the deprivation of the most fundamental democratic rights, and yet that's called anti-extremism. It is extremism, and not of the good kind. So indoctrinating children to so-called values is a totalitarian policy. We ought to resist these dogmatics. Remember, it's meant to be about education and not indoctrination. One of the values is tolerance, and the so-called anti-extremism drive is the polar opposite of tolerance. Freedom of expression is one of the values. You've got freedom of expression and you have tolerance. Yeah, freedom of expression is precisely what the anti-extremists hate, that anyone would express a view that they don't completely share, that anyone would ask them some very worthwhile questions. So it's very scary indeed. So the United Kingdom and many Western countries are going down the same road as China and Russia, the road to oppression, where dissenters are branded extremists and imprisoned for years for expressing their opinions. And the anti-extremism campaign is almost completely one-sided against right-wingers. You know, in the height of the Cold War, members of the Communist Party were allowed to be heads of colleges at Oxford University. Christopher Hill, yeah, that's right, an advocate of mass murder under Stalin. And he had a high position in the establishment. Staggering. Imagine putting a Nazi in charge of an Oxford college in the Second World War. And that is directly parallel to what Christopher Hill had. And the so-called far right are actually not right wing at all, but just as a way to try and smear the Conservative Party and Reform UK. And so we go on. So so-called extremists are often violent. They're often called violent when they're not, for opposing genocide, despite so-called moderates, mainstream people, committing genocide every single day. It's the so-called moderates of the Labour Party, the Liberal Democrats, the Conservatives, the SNP. They indulge in hate speech. They incite the mass murder of the defenceless. So some of those who are called extreme really are extreme. And they may subscribe to rebarbative views. I might find them sickening. But to hold and vocalize repellent views is an inalienable right. So you might think that criminalizing people for their noisome views is permissible and necessary for a healthy society. But where does it end? First of all, you criminalize this group circle, and then the next faction, and the next, till they're less and less and less extreme, till you start criminalizing everybody who doesn't agree with you on absolutely everything, just because their views are uncongenial to the establishment. Anyway, the stealth-style moderates, if they really were sure of themselves, they would welcome the so-called extremists to debate. Surely the moderates are so clever, and their arguments are so logically watertight, they would convince people. It proves how pathetically feeble their arguments are. They won't even allow them to be tested. Anyway, so sometimes it's right to be extreme, extremely just, extremely moral, extremely valiant, extremely free, extremely correct, extremely clever, extremely humane, or in relation to this growing oppression, extremely outraged. The very campaign against extremism is self defeating. If Alfred's view is extreme in relation to Bob's view, then Bob's view is extreme in relation to Alfred's, you know? If the BNP is extreme in relation to Labour, Labour's extreme in relation to the BNP. So they're both banned or what? Nobody can have any opinions? Anyway, I remember what John Milton wrote in Areopagitica. I hope I pronounced it correctly. That we'll only know what good ideas are if bad ones are published too. So we must be allowed to compare and contrast and allow 1,000 schools of thought to contend. No more censorship. Anyway, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate PayPal, George Callahan 79@gmail.com. Goodbye.